You know, when it comes to wireless carriers, sometimes what you see isn't always what you get, except with Visible. With Visible, what you see is exactly what you get. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. With Visible, there are no hidden fees, no fine print, no hassle, nothing to hide. It's just $25 a month, all taxes and fees included. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. You can save on a line all to yourself with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And again, just $25 a month. The future of wireless is here, and it is transparent. If you want more transparency in your wireless plan, you want to be on the Visible plan. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. That's Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. This episode of GameScoop is sponsored by Squarespace. If you're looking for a way to make your business stand out and succeed online, Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for you. They take the stress out of creating an awesome website, engaging with your audience, and selling anything from products to content to time, so you're able to focus on, you know, everything else. In other words, you'll have more time for gaming. With the new guided design system, you can choose from curated layouts and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, optimized for every device. And with Squarespace's integrated, optimized SEO tools, you'll show up more often to more people. Squarespace doesn't just make things easier for you. Checkout for your customers is made seamless with simple but powerful payment tools that allow you to accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. So whether you're just starting out or looking to expand your existing brand, be sure to visit squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/gamescoop to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/gamescoop for 10% off. Come get some.
Beware, I live. IGN GameScoop.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN GameScoop. I am your host, Damon Hatfield. With me this week is Christine Steimer.
Hello!
Anthony Gallegos is here. And Charles Agnet.
Oh, hi.
He's also here. Hi, everybody. Happy
Hi.
Friday.
Hi.
Yay, Friday.
This is, of course, the GameScoop podcast is IGN's weekly news podcast. It goes up every Friday, and we run down the biggest news stories of the week that happen in the world of video games, and we find plenty of moments to stop and laugh along the way. Lots of Diablo 3 stuff is going on this week.
It has officially entered closed beta.
Closed beta. We got access this week, and there was
Speak
actually...
Speak for yourself.
Well, okay, so I got access.
Oh, my gosh.
So I'm sorry, Christine.
Both you, Anthony and Charles, you both have been playing, right?
Yeah, and actually, beyond the beta, there was bigger news that broke just this morning, where Diablo is now confirmed for an early 2012 release.
Early 2012.
And that doesn't surprise me at all.
Some people are calling it a delay, but it's not really a delay, right?
I mean, it never had an official release date. It's just the guy said that they wanted to do 2011, and they can't.
Yeah, It was never like the game... Blizzard had never said the game is definitely coming out in 2011. It was just sort of like...
We want to try to get it out in 2011.
Exactly.
To me, it makes sense. If I was Activision Blizzard, and I was controlling when games are coming out, and I knew Call of Duty was coming out this holiday season, I'd be like, we're not going to put one of our other games against Call of Duty. Mm-hmm. Like, even though they're not the same genre, I'm like, I don't want people to have to compete with their dollars. So next year, when we know somebody else is going to release their badass game in the beginning of 2012, we're going to fuck them over and release Diablo at the same time.
So it'll be Diablo and, what, Mass Effect 3?
Yeah, exactly.
If it's March, then
I don't know. They'll try and sabotage someone else.
Yeah, and I'm not sure if, like, the current beta that's running right now, which is just a bit of the co-op game, the PvP stuff isn't accessible. Mm. It's not the full game. It's like it takes a couple hours to play through, and then you're done. And you can go through the content again with all five classes if you want to. But it's not like end game stuff. It's not like crazy. If you play through it again the second time,
you won't have much of a challenge. You'll just run over everything.
Yeah, you'll steamroll everything. I don't know if they're going to do more betas leading up to that, because I assume there's more of the game that they would like to test.
No, I think you've played all of the game.
That's it.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm not entirely sure exactly what they're testing, but I would assume it would be how all the characters' skills and powers relate to, you know, wiping monsters out and just stability stuff.
I was going to say, yeah, probably how good BattleNet works with player-to-player connection.
Yeah, as they keep adding more people in. And they also have the auction house, which I thought was interesting. It is active right now, so if you're in the Diablo 3 closed beta, you can use the auction house for gold trading. And I mean, when Blizzard first announced the auction house a while back, this was big news because it was, you can use virtual currency to buy and sell items to other players in an auction house that works much like the World of Warcraft auction house.
Hmm.
Or you can use real money to buy and sell items for your characters, which means you could theoretically make money by playing Diablo.
When Diablo 3 comes out, Charles and I are quitting.
I know. I'm just going to say, is this your big plan?
New way of making money.
Which was, it was very exciting to me, although I know a lot of people had really negative reactions, because it's like, oh, well, you just pay for your character. And, like, nobody likes that, because then you don't put in the quote-unquote work into building your character up, finding those items, and amassing a cool character. And somebody
Some
else just...
people don't have the time for that.
Well, exactly.
But basically they have Blizzard, the money. It's basically Blizzard going with what free-to-play they've learned from free-to-play games, which is that some people don't want to spend the time to get a purple item and run the boss, but they're willing to pay for that, so why not let them, and why not take a cut of that?
Yeah, and I mean, some people might complain about PvP balance for Diablo 3, because there are competitive modes where you fight other Diablo characters, but Diablo 3 has never been, in my conversations with the dev team, they're not positioning it as like an esports title in the same sense that StarCraft is an esports title, and it's ridiculously, it's obsessively balanced, and like the smallest change to cooldown times and damage numbers can have like massive effects on the competitive game. That's not the goal for Diablo 3. But the beta itself, what is playable, I mean, it's a lot of fun.
That's what I wanted to ask you. You're enjoying it.
It's fun, although I don't know how much I'll play it ultimately, because like you can only play through an hour and a half worth of content.
Yeah, you mean so just much. The beta, not the actual, not the
oh,
full.
When the
final
full game,
game
comes out, I'm gonna be all over it. It's just that you can only run through the beta so many times where you're like, all right, I've done it. I've really done it.
Yeah,
I like how you start out basically naked. You're like wearing rags.
Yeah, in the scope of the game, it's set during Act 1, so it's very early on in the game. And yeah, you start out at level 1, you have nothing, and then you progressively unlock more skills. And I think from playing the beta, people who have played like Diablo 2 will notice that the whole skill progression system is completely different from what has been in the game before.
And vastly superior in my mind.
I actually like it, but it's a lot more flexible. You don't use skill points to build up individual skills. You just unlock them as you level. So as you level up, you're just given new skills. And you can mix and match your skills at any time you want. So it's not like you're locked in. It's like if you put in one skill point, you're not locked into that decision for the entire rest of the game. You can just be like, I don't want to do that anymore.
So there's no going to a skill trainer to get it or anything like that. You're just given it on the fly. Like, in the middle of the dungeon you level up.
It unlocks in the field. And eventually you will have, like, 6 active skill slots and 3 passive ones. But in the beta, you can only level up to the point where I think you can get
3 at a time.
My highest level character right now, it's an 11 wizard, has 3 active skills unlocked and 1 passive.
Yeah.
So you can't really, even if you played it forever, you probably couldn't get access to, like, everything in there.
I think the max level in the beta is, like, 15 or something like that.
15 or 13. Yeah. I don't know. I haven't hit it yet. But the class design itself is really entertaining, and just, like, every class feels so different. Like, Anthony, I know you're playing the Witch Doctor.
The Witch Doctor's funny because he's, like, he's the newest one, yeah, right? He's, or like, the most different one, I would say.
And he's like, the evolution of, like, the Necromancer from
Diablo
2.
Yeah, and I would say,
too.
Like, everyone else in every Diablo game that you've ever been able to play, including Necromancer, was, like, a really distinguished, like, carried themselves with a lot of pride character, and the Witch Doctor is like a guy that looks like a crackhead. He's like constantly twitching when he's talking to people, and he, like, I don't know, he's very strange, but I love him. He's so cool. He basically is a, you can play him as a melee combat, but he's mostly supposed to be a ranged character, and he summons things to fight for him, zombies, little people.
And who are you playing as, Charles? What class?
I was playing as the wizard initially, which is a pretty straightforward magic using class. The wizard can shoot out, like, lightning bolts, has a lot of area of effect damage. So if, like, what I was doing is I was using a Frost Nova skill, so I can go into the middle of a giant, I can go to the middle of a giant crowd of skeletons and blast out a Frost Nova, which freezes them all temporarily. And then he has another area of effect knockback skill, which if I were to use on non-frozen enemies would knock them away from him, because he's fairly fragile. He's not like the barbarian and has more durability in combat.
Hmm.
But because they're frozen, they don't go anywhere. So they just take that damage, and then you just use a chain lightning attack, which arcs between them.
I love this.
Yeah, this is pretty great.
So, I mean, you use that combo, and because I only had, like, 3 active skill slots, this is all I was using, but, like, the Frost Nova, I can't remember what that second thing, I think it's, like, Concussion Blast or something like that, and then you use the lightning skill after that, and you just arc between them and kill everything. And then, like, gold and items go flying all over the place, and it's, like, all these crazy sound effects. And because of the physics, like, enemies, if you hit them with explosive effects, they will just go flying all over the place.
They go tumbling through the air and hit things. Like, they actually have enough physics going on that they ram into the walls and stuff like that. They aren't just, like, hitting, like, a painted-on background or anything. Hmm.
And the barbarian will roll into a fight and hit something in the face, and it will go flying off screen. And, like, I was fighting zombies, and he knocks the skin off of zombies. So that they're just flying skeletons at that point. It's just, I don't know. It's really entertaining.
Is there any way for listeners to get in on the beta? Or is it just an invite-only thing?
Eventually. I think they're going to make it open at some point. But for now, yeah. Good luck.
It's selective as far as I understand.
Make a best friend at Blizzard.
Yeah.
Well, some of the most interesting news about Diablo 3 this week, I thought, was that Blizzard is actively exploring bringing Diablo 3 to consoles.
Yeah, and they've been hiring for a console version of Diablo 3 for a while. They've had listings up for, like, PS3 specialists, who knows if that'll actually happen, if it'll be the same game. I know when I was at Blizzard talking to them about the auction house, when they were first mentioning that, they mentioned that they would like to do an auction house on consoles. I don't know how that would work.
Yeah.
Everyone, the Sony, Microsoft would probably want,
they would want a cut
out of, you know, what Blizzard is taking out of that. So I'm not sure if that would ever work. But.
Yeah, I would see it. It would seem more likely on a PS3 than 360. Just because I think Sony's more flexible and open to that sort of thing.
It seems that way, especially with companies such as Valve putting Steam on PS3 and allowing cross-platform.
Not only that, the mouse and keyboard have been allowed on PS3 as well, so I can see Diablo being
that'll be in Counter-Strike. It was in Unreal Tournament on PS3.
Yeah, so why not just use mouse and keyboard?
Blizzard was saying they actually really like the way the game feels played with a controller and having direct control over your characters, so that's exciting for me.
I have not played it with a controller, but I guess it could work.
It would just be kind of different because I don't know how you'd have the ability to, like, target an enemy amongst, like, 20 that's, like, 10 feet away. As opposed to a guy that's, like, directly in front of you.
Yeah, which may be useful for some attacks, although I guess a lot of the attacks in Diablo 3 right now are very area of effect centric, especially with, like, the witch doctor and his frog spell.
There's a frog spell?
Which is probably my favorite attack.
He just summons explosive frogs.
Oh my god, that sounds awesome.
You can just sit in one spot and just cast this giant line of frogs, and they don't just, like, shoot out, they hop. So you just have hopping frogs all over the place.
Okay, I need to go see this downstairs.
Yeah, I mean, it's totally plausible that it could come to console. I mean, the original Diablo came out on PS1, so why not? Mm. I don't know.
I mean, it would make sense.
Yeah.
If it happened, it would totally make sense.
Did you play it on PS1?
I didn't, but I know people that did, and they loved it.
I remember back in the day, I never played it, but I remember it being available.
Yeah, people I know that did said it was really great, so.
Charles, another game that's actually coming out much sooner than Diablo 3 is Rage.
It is.
You were just looking at a new video at your desk before we came up here, isn't that right?
I was. I don't know how much I can say.
Isn't that going up today?
Maybe.
It's not going up today?
It's still.
You realize this podcast isn't going up till later, so we don't know if that's coming up. Okay, so we can say that Rage is coming out soon.
It is.
It comes out what?
October 5th. October 5th for
like
for
2 weeks? Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's really soon now. Yeah, there hasn't been a lot of buildup on that game. I don't know if people have forgotten about it. It's like, hey, it's software.
I think it's just been like talked about for so long.
Yeah, we've been seeing that game for years, right?
Yeah,
I'm very excited about it.
I'm very excited about it too. I mean, it obviously has. It's hard to have a better track record than it does.
Yeah.
So anything they do is worthy of attention. I think a lot of people are maybe looking at the game. Like, it's, it looks like Borderlands, or is this game Fallout, or what's happening here?
Yeah, and it's neither of those.
No, I mean, from what I played, like, I went to a preview event, I played it for about 3 hours, played from the very beginning of the game through as far as I could get, essentially, and got to the first town, and it is a shooter.
Yeah, it's very shooty-shooty.
It is absolutely
shooty-shooty,
a shooter.
Shooty, I like that.
Yeah, there are open connecting sections between the shooting spots, but when you're in a shooting spot, it's not like It's not like Borderlands where you're out in a huge open space and enemies just spawn all over the place. Mm-hmm. The open spaces are for travel, and then you travel to the shooting spots.
This game isn't about leveling up or anything either, is it, right? This is just a shooter. I mean, I don't mean that derogatory, but I mean, it's not like Borderlands where I'm trying to get a skill tree going and all that.
No, you don't have a skill tree, although you can craft items in the game to help you out. But it's not like you do not level yourself, and you do not acquire skills and modify a tree or anything like that. It's absolutely a shooter.
So you're going to start... Have you started... Do you have the final build of that game yet, or...
I do not
start that next week?
I do not have a final build of that game, but hopefully soon.
All right, and then October 5th is when that's out. You were doing the review, right? Charles and Yet.
I will be reviewing the game, yes.
All right. I'm excited about that one. I'm also excited to have you here, Charles, because I've been wanting to talk to you about Deus Ex.
Okay.
Which I've started playing recently, and I love it. It's great. But you said...
You really like it?
Yeah, I like it. You said it's one of your top three games of the year so far, right?
It is one of my top three games of the year so far, for sure.
Alongside Portal 2 and Witcher 2.
Portal 2 and Witcher 2, yep.
So I love Deus Ex. But it doesn't, in some ways, feel kind of old in terms of, like the character animations and things like that. Everyone, they're just sort of like jerking around the way they used to. It reminds me of Perfect Dark a lot. Just like people are very robotic and there's unnecessary.
The game feels like a game that got delayed over and over again.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You think that's part of it?
Yeah. I definitely think that at some point they were like, oh God, we should redo those, but it'll add another 6 months. Fuck it. Ship it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely almost something like early GTA. Like cutscenes where everyone looks puppet-ish. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Some animations are better than others. It's inconsistent.
The major characters look much better than the random NPC standing around. You're just like, you don't look as well rendered as everyone else. That's odd.
That's true. Yeah.
And but I did really enjoy that. I mean, I know that it was rough with some of the voice acting was just sort of out of left field, and you're just like, where did that voice come from?
Yeah, some of the Chinese people are a little suspect.
I heard they were a little potentially insensitive. You know,
they just sound a little silly sometimes. I would say,
like a character out of South Park or something.
Maybe. Yeah. I like the game a lot. The boss fights, I played through the first boss fight against Barrett or something. It was pretty frustrating. But then I figured out a really cheap way to exploit it.
Yeah.
I'll let you guys know if anyone's having trouble with this boss fight. There's two supply rooms on either side of the main room, and the boss will not follow you in there. So you can you can sit in there and just shoot him from in there.
That's awesome.
And he won't come in.
Those
fights. Reminds me of Fallout AI. Just run to an area that they can't get to you, and then.
But apparently, the boss fights were outsourced.
I saw that, and
it's really weird.
I guess that makes a little bit more sense in the context of the game because so much of it, I was playing as a stealth. I took a stealth approach. I was sneaking around.
Yeah, I like being sneaky when I can.
Doing a lot of takedowns and stuff like that. And I thought the AI of most of the enemies was good. It felt like it felt rewarding when I was able to take them down. Just mm-hmm. because I felt if I screwed up, they would notice and they would kill me very quickly.
Yeah.
But the boss fights are a totally different thing. That it's just like, what happened?
I wonder especially if that's something like Eidos or Square Enix was like, we need to add some boss fights in here. And the developer is like, I don't know about that. Well, we'll just outsource them.
Look, we've already made them. Find a place for them. Yeah.
What weapons did you find yourself using a lot?
I almost fully upgraded a pistol.
Yeah.
I was into the stun gun.
Yes.
The Trank rifle. And I used I don't remember what the exact name is, but it's the shotgun that shoots the ball that knocks down ball of energy that knocks down multiple people.
Mm.
So the only actual lethal weapon I had was the pistol.
Mm.
And I didn't do any lethal takedowns in the game. I did all silent takedowns.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Charles, if you could augment yourself in some way, how would you augment yourself?
I don't know if I would get Adam Jensen's glasses. Those look even in the future, those look a little ridiculous. And you'd have to hollow out some area in your eye cavity to accommodate the lenses when they flip back. It's just...
I was thinking about this the other day, and I determined that augmenting is fucked up because... You can't just do one, because when you do one, you're going to need others to compensate for it. So, like, I'd augment my legs so I could, jump up to a building. But then I was like, oh, but then I would need to, augment like my hips and stuff so that they can take the impacts and stuff. And then from there, I need to impact, like augment my spine so that I wouldn't get compressed discs. Yeah. I was like, man, you can't just do one.
Yeah, it's tough It's tough to do it piecemeal, especially your internal organs. Like the shock from that, you would need some sort of casing around them.
That's so what I'm saying. If you jump from like a second story to the ground.
Just fill yourself with bubble wrap. It'll all be okay.
Yes. You'd be like, oh, I'm going outside. Better use that bubble wrap in case I get too excited.
I'm down to become a cyborg at some point when it's more viable, but I don't know.
I think I would have to go for the leg augments. Seem like they would be
I just want to be able to jump everywhere.
Or you could just run really fast.
Or run fast, but mostly just, yeah, especially if I could run, it wouldn't really make me feel tired. I'd just be like, oh, I'm just going to ride and never drive anywhere.
I'd rather just fly.
I would, I'd get the extra two columns for my inventory so I could carry, just carry absurd amounts of stuff with me.
Just get a really big backpack. Like in Harry Potter where she enchants that tiny bag and she can shove whatever it is.
I think that's a much better solution. Otherwise, you have like augmented pockets all over yourself.
Just haul out your arm and you can shove some stuff in there.
A third Dead Space is a foregone conclusion. We'll get a Dead Space 3. But I thought this was weird, the story this week about this Israeli TV station that put up this video, a tour of Redwood Shores, EA's Redwood office, and there were Dead Space 3 logos and signs
really
up.
Yeah, really weird. Like, why would they be that careless about it?
I know.
I guess because maybe they don't care, because they know it's a foregone conclusion, too. Mm. Hey, you know the successful game we've made? Yeah, you know how it ends, the second one ends, though, in, like,
the
cliffhanger?
They were super cagey about the Mass Effect 3 reveal, and we're like, it's always been a trilogy. What are you talking about?
I guess we'll just have to wait.
We can't tell you if it's coming.
It'd be funny if that wasn't even a real logo. That was just something someone made for a coworker.
I bet you're going to work on this.
It's on a big banner, though, right? Like above.
Yeah, so, well, you think they were just like, hey, guys, this Israeli TV station's coming in today.
Let's screw with them.
I'm going to put up this Dead Space 3 banner.
Oh, man.
Maybe they didn't think it was airing for another few months.
It will be interesting to see what they do with Dead Space 3, because earlier this year, EA was saying that they think there's still room for growth in the series, and that they like what Capcom did with taking Resident Evil to the mass market, and they think they can still room for doing that. I know. To me, that seems to say, is that Resident Evil 5? Because I did not like Resident Evil 5.
I didn't think Resident Evil 5 was any more mass market than Dead Space was. Like, other than maybe it was less scary, and it was dumber.
That was probably it. It's just that everyone had more muscles, and
they looked more like they were in Gears of War.
And it's more about shooting things than it is about avoiding
things. Dead Space
things.
Was still really about shooting things, though, too.
That's true.
The only thing I would change in Dead Space is less enemies where you can obviously tell exactly what you're going to fight when you enter a room. Mm. So many times in Dead Space, you would enter a room and be like, oh, I'm going to fight this. Like, because you could tell by the way the room was laid out.
They do make the triggers fairly obvious with the enemy types. And Dead Space has always been about action, but it still manages to be scary.
Yeah.
Much more so than Resident Evil 5, which compared to like the early games where you didn't even want to fight everything you saw because
you just wanted to run away.
You had barely any ammo and you could die at any second, so you just
and you couldn't
to
do like a That's roundhouse when you get the kick leg and augments. Throw a zombie like 7 feet through the air.
Yeah. There was none of that. That's why I thought the GameCube remake of the Resident Evil was amazing.
Awesome.
I loved that game. I thought that was a really cool twist on
it. It was amazing. I played the hell out of that.
Because not only was it true to the old game, but they had a couple of things that if you'd played the old one, you're like, oh, well, I know I'm safe when I'm... No, I'm not safe!
That had a really cool title screen. Because it was like the zombie on the table, and it would like slowly sit up, and then it got shot in the head. And it would fall back down. I thought that was pretty great.
Yeah.
Dead Space 2, I think, is a perfect example of how not every game needs to have multiplayer. Because it had that multiplayer mode that nobody played, you know? And, like, how much money and how many man hours were spent into making that?
Yeah. Although EA was the company that said, you know, they wouldn't make a game without multiplayer anymore.
It's a waste of time. Some type of multiplayer.
Well, to them, it's just the way that they incentivize players to keep it on their shelves instead of turning it in for use sales.
Yeah. Although, I would love to see the data on that, whether or not that is actually true.
Yeah.
I'm sure that they're looking into it. I'm sure they're not just like, yes, this is the perfect solution.
I never played Dead Space multiplayer.
Never. Yeah. Me neither.
I played it at an event once and was like, okay.
Yeah. Bioshock 2 did that too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder if anybody plays that.
That multiplayer was actually pretty good.
Yeah, but did anybody play it?
I heard the Dead Space one was also pretty good. But
nobody plays it.
And did anybody play the Assassin's Creed?
And that one was pretty good, too.
And it's like, I mean, even if they're good, like, there's certain games where you don't associate like, that and you don't only
room,
play that.
There's only room for, like, two or three multiplayer games out there that people are really going to play.
And, yeah. And it's Modern Warfare, so there's really not... Yes. There's only room for, like, one.
I know.
Outside of Modern Warfare.
Mm. Well, Gears will do well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, if we're talking about survival horror games, I should just bring up that if you are looking for a true survival horror experience, you should play Amnesia the Dark Descent.
I knew you were going to say Amnesia.
or any of the three games made by those guys.
Or like... the Penumbra series that preceded Amnesia.
Yeah.
Those are true survival horror. Well, except...
you can skip Penumbra Overture.
Yeah. Black Plague is the best... of that series. But yeah, those are actual...
I'm getting scared just talking about
those are actual survival horror, where if you see anything, you have to run...
You can't defend yourself in those games.
You don't have anything? You don't have any weapons?
It is not... Well, Overture was a little bit about fighting. It didn't really work
That's
very
why
well.
It was dumb.
Yeah.
But in the other ones, no. You run.
Just run.
You flee. It's great.
Run away!
Well, obviously we'll get Dead Space 3.
At some point.
At some point. But we also know that Visceral, the developer, is working on some new IPs too, so... some new, all new games, so we'll have to, that'll be interesting to see what they're working on. What'd you guys think of this Netflix news that happened this week?
Quickster?
Yeah.
I don't care, I have a streaming account.
I just do the streaming, so.
See, I do this because there's still like stuff like HBO that I can't get any other way.
Right.
Yeah, I just know that I'm
that isn't sketchy.
Lazy enough where I won't, like, Greg and I never changed the discs. They always just sat like on the table.
I think the worst part about it is that video they put out that was like really felt really disingenuous with that guy that's like, we're really doing this to help everyone, not because we're trying to sell off this whole division of our company, you know, and this is all for you guys. Fuck off.
I assume the listeners know what we're talking about, but just in case you don't, Netflix announced earlier this week that they're spinning their disc rental service off into a different company called Quixtar. So now Netflix is just going to be a streaming service.
Yeah.
Quixtar is also going to offer game rentals. Which apparently, I've heard different things that it's going to be an added fee like Blu-ray is, and I've also heard that it's not going to cost you anymore. So I don't know how that's going to work.
Man, if I
hopefully
wanted to
they're
rent...
smart enough to not have it be more expensive than just Gamefly.
Well, so Gamefly is, I think, $8 for the lowest, for like one game at a time.
Gotcha. Man, if I wanted to rent games, like these days, I would just go to, honestly, the Redbox right by my house. They have all
they
the
have
biggest games?
Games
there. Yeah, and they have all the bigger ones that just come
movies.
Out, too.
How much is it to rent a game from
Redbox?
It's
like $3 a day. But so it's kind of expensive.
That is expensive.
That's really
Jesus.
Expensive.
But if you just wanted to, like, you know, rent a game for a weekend, it's not the end of the world. Like, and there's no commitment.
I don't know. You just spent the amount of money that you just spent that weekend. You could have just had a Gamefly account and then had it for the whole month and not have to worry about it.
The thing is that I don't consistently rent games. So for someone like me, it's just on a whim, you know. Mm. But I don't rent games anyways.
Yeah.
I'm privileged. You know what I think's really dumb, though?
What?
What?
Quixtar Twitter account?
Yes, exactly.
Oh, wait, what?
That when they decided to make it Quixtar, they didn't think, we should go to Twitter.com and see if Quixtar is already taken. No, yeah, it's some guy that all he talks about is hoes and weed.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
That's awesome.
That's amazing. Yeah. And he's active on it?
Yeah, Twitter.com.
Well, he is now, because he just got about a gazillion followers
that's
in,
so
like, three
funny.
Seconds.
That's amazing.
So, yeah, they didn't think, maybe we should, you know, buy this from him beforehand or... Yeah, so now it's just that you just go to Quixtar and it's this dude talking about weed.
I wonder if they'll buy him out.
Here's a quick, Charles, listener Chad Ridgway has a question.
Okay.
I think you might be able to help him out with. He says, we know Netflix killed Blockbuster. Many are pointing out that Netflix will now kill Gamefly. But their ultimate goal, I think, is to kill OnLive and own the streaming games market. They already have streaming down, the future is streaming, and the Netflix CEO understands that very well. They're entering the games business. When the logo says Quixtar, a Netflix company, believe that it is the first of many Netflix companies. I don't know, what do you think?
They could be going in that direction, but there is a lot of work to do if they want to catch up with OnLive. And I don't even like OnLive very much.
Yeah, you've said that before.
I think it the performance that you get out of the games you stream is crappy. The image quality isn't very good. Its input lag is noticeable in some cases. I wouldn't recommend it as a gaming service. But the infrastructure that they've already built up at OnLive in order to do that, in order to deliver that experience to people, I mean, I think that's a really long process.
Yeah.
And eventually, that
has to be viable. That has to be the future of how we wind up playing games. It just makes too much sense to be able to cut out the hardware element entirely.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why should anyone buy hardware? That doesn't make any sense. If you can just get it from somewhere else and not have to invest in that, then you never need to upgrade. You never need to do anything. It totally makes sense. It's just the experience is not ideal right now. Mm-hmm. So, in years down the road, when if OnLive can stay around, can, upgrade everything they have and figure out how to do it properly, they have a head start on everyone else. So I think that's really valuable.
Yeah.
They can buy them. They can buy OnLive.
Yeah.
You think Netflix can?
Yeah.
Unless they just straight up buy them.
Their value has gone down like 40%.
Well, yeah, the thing is about OnLive, the reason that I don't think it'll ever end up being successful is because the infrastructure, they may have great infrastructure, but outside of places like San Francisco, LA, New York, most parts of the United States don't have the infrastructure to do the high-speed internet. Like, it's not even possible to get that speed of internet that you need to make OnLive really work well. Mm. America has a lot of catching up to do on internet infrastructure, so...
Another theory I've heard about Netflix and Quixtar is that Netflix knows the DVD rental business is doomed, so they spun it off into its own company that they can just let fail, basically. And then they still have the Netflix brand.
Oh, so the Netflix, the name doesn't end up sounding like, oh, yeah, remember when that failed?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. That's just a theory I've heard.
It's kind of sad.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
I mean, the future is streaming. Netflix just needs to get
more content.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of... petty selfishness happening behind the scenes with licensing agreements with movie studios and television networks. They need to get over that because people just want to be able to stream stuff,
Yeah.
You can either let us
stream it and let us pay you something.
Exactly.
Or let us pirate it from you and get nothing.
Exactly. Christine, how's the, is this the final downloadable content for Fallout New Vegas?
Yes.
Called Lonesome Road.
Lonesome Road.
Yeah. How'd that turn out?
Is it just you on a road and that's it?
It's not. I mean, you have an iBot. Like, I always say Edie, but it's Eddie.
I always thought it was Edie, too.
Yeah. In the game, they say Eddie. And I'm like, oh.
Wait a minute.
I thought it was Edie Falco, that actor?
Yes, okay. That is an actress. This is correct.
Yes, but she's not like she's the voice like of the bot.
I hope not. That'd
I didn't know
really
if it was
weird.
Spelled the same.
No, it's just capital ED-E.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
So he's there with you, which makes it a little bit less lonely. But it was just sort of meh. I mean, it was like the story I didn't give a damn about. It's like, what the hell? The whole premise is you get a message from the courier who rejected the job that got you shot in the head at the beginning of the game. Mm. And he's like taunting you basically. Oh, come find me and I'll tell you. It was just really dumb. I was like, what is going on? Why do I care? All right, I guess I'm reviewing this, so I have to go play it.
The biggest problem I have with all the New Vegas stuff is they've still never addressed the fact that if you want to play it, you have to load an old save, right?
Yeah, yeah. So this still does not fix the ending of the game, which is stupid because they fixed it with Fallout 3.
Yeah. Why?
Well, I don't know why that they realized it was an issue with Fallout 3, fixed it, and then they did it again in New Vegas and still have not fixed it.
Yeah.
I'm like, well... Okay, seems a little bit dumb, but this also raises the level cap by 5 again, if you want more levels. And that's pretty
so
much
many levels.
Straightforward Fallout, although it's a little bit more linear.
You gave it a 6.5.
Yeah, it was just okay.
What was the best downloadable content for New Vegas?
I would go with Honest Hearts, and then Old World Blues.
Hmm. It seems really like the funny. DLC for this one in general wasn't as good as it was for 3.
Yeah, yep, I didn't think so. But they had some bright spots, but for the most part, I mean, Dead Money was not good. I probably should have given that a lower score. But
Overrated.
6.5 as well. But yeah, I mean, it wasn't terrible. It was just like the story was not interesting to me whatsoever. Mm. So
available now for how much? How much is
10 bucks.
$10. Man, that's a lot for a chapter.
It is. I mean, unless you're like obsessive and really want those extra levels and really want something else to do.
A few extra achievements.
Don't. Yeah, there's just a handful of extra achievements as well. Mm. But, yeah.
In regards to Counter-Strike, what is it? Counter-Strike Global Offensive, right?
Yeah.
We talked about this a few weeks ago. And we talked about some people were a little disappointed that there didn't seem to be a lot new in it. Right? It's very much, very similar to the original Counter-Strike.
I thought it was just Counter-Strike straight up.
But apparently there's a new mode.
Yeah, it's called Arsenal, and it was based off of a mod that was super popular called Gun Game. And Gun Game has been... this is a mod that the mode has kind of been adapted in other games, like Call of Duty. I think Black Ops did it as well in some form. But basically, it is everyone starts with a pistol, And when you kill someone, you get, like, the next tier pistol. And eventually you kill people and you're getting machine guns. And the goal is for players to kill enough people where they work through all the weapons and eventually they stab someone. And when whoever stabs someone first with the knife is the last weapon you get. And when you stab someone, you win.
That's kind of cool.
That sounds awesome, actually.
So everyone's trying to get the best weapon they can, you know, and you're always getting best weapons for kills. So it's who can get to coveted knife and manage to stab someone.
All right. So.
And yeah, that is much different than the standard Counter-Strike mode.
Exactly. And it adds, you know, and there's going to be 8 maps that use Arsenal. So it could be really, hopefully it'll be really awesome. I mean, I have no doubt it'll be really awesome. It's Valve.
Yeah.
So Valve's like the one developer that I never doubt anything they do anymore. Like other companies, I still like have misgivings. Like, you know, Rage, I was like, I don't know. But, you know, Valve, they could be like, we're going to make a game about ponies and where you take care of ponies at a ranch. I'm going to be like, yes.
Yes, I'll play that. I'll do it.
Reminds me of Pony versus Pony.
Pony versus Pony. PvP. Counter-Strike is still supposed to come out this year, right?
Early next year.
That one's early next year, too?
Yeah, that's a next year game, although it might go into beta this year.
Okay.
We still have plenty to play this year.
I know, yeah.
Now the first half of next year is getting really credit, too.
It seems to always happen, yeah.
Push
stuff to the summer.
Yeah, then stuff doesn't come out in the summer that much either. There's a few, but...
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, next year seems like it's going to be pretty big for just on the PC side, just with, Dota, Counter-Strike.
Old Republic,
yes, I would assume. There's no
Does
way.
Does Guild Wars have a release date?
No, and not a solid release date. I'm assuming that's going to
be next year.
I'm assuming that's going to be a 2012 game. But Old Republic, there's no way. Even though EA keeps saying that, maybe it'll come out this year. It's not coming out this year.
I know.
I don't think so.
It'll be next year, maybe next summer. Like, I don't know. The amount of content that they're building into that game
is insane.
Is absurd. They have so many modes, and you compare that to launch version of WoW, which had not even close to the same amount of content. They're putting in all sorts of PvP battlegrounds, end game stuff, the entire level curve with, you know, story, class specific story driven content the whole way. Like, if that actually winds up happening, then that would be an achievement. I think just to put that much content in
achievement
there.
Unlocked.
I think
this is going to be like EA's version of what was that gigantic plane they tried to build back in the day? They're like, we're going to build this big fucking plane. They bankrupted their they bankrupted the company.
I haven't heard of this plane. That sounds like somebody could make a movie out of that.
Yeah, I'm almost
Martin Scorsese could make a movie based on
it. It was a movie where it was a plane that they tried to build.
Was it called Airplane?
It was a huge transport plane, and they're like, we're going to do it. And then the company went bankrupt.
That was a movie? This sounds like a terrible movie.
No, it wasn't a movie. Okay, this was like a real life story. And I'm thinking the amount of money they must have dumped into this game at this point has got to be fucking obscene.
Yeah, I mean, and they were, before they started development, if I remember the stories correctly, they were writing for it just because there's so many quests for over a year. Maybe it was 2 years.
I really hope they can do something with that game that's cool, because we haven't had a good Star Wars game in a while, in like a long while. So
yeah, and Galaxies will soon no longer be an option.
Well, Galaxies was never a good Star Wars game either, so there's that.
Just go back to play TIE Fighter.
If you could.
You could.
They never made a good Star Wars RTS, did they? A good one?
Empire at War was the closest we got, and that was okay, in my opinion. I didn't think it was great. So no, they've never made a good Star Wars RTS.
Which was Petroglyph, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, who's now making End of Nations.
And Rise of the Immortals.
Yeah. Oh yeah, Rise of the Immortals. Welcome to the world's worst MOBA.
Yeah, it's a MOBA. So it's
what
like,
is a MOBA?
It's like Dota. It's I guess you could call it a Dota clone as well, but it's called Multiplayer Online Battle Arena.
Basically, it's games like League of Legends, Dota 2. The term that has been adopted by the industry and by nerds on the internet is MOBA for them. So
sounds like
It is their like version of a MOBA, and it's really bad, really bad.
There'll be a review on that
soon. Look for that
just
one.
For the just game that Nick's playing.
Go to riseofimmortals.com. Yeah, everyone can play it right now. It's free to play. Go to riseofimmortals.com and just look at the artwork there. It looks like they sourced worst pages on DeviantArt for it. Oh man, I see that you draw really good Sonic fucking tails. You know, I really think that you could do some great artwork for our game.
Oh my god.
It's actually, Anthony is not exaggerating.
Oh no, okay, now I gotta go take a look.
It's really bad. It's really bad art. It is.
Yeah,
it wasn't good.
It was the kind of art that made me feel bad for the game.
Oh,
even though I hadn't played it yet.
Poor game.
Yeah.
Okay, we have some important announcements before we go to listener mail. First of all, if you're a fan of the Knockin' Boots podcast, note that it has been spun out into its own podcast. It is no longer being fed to iTunes through GameScoop, so you will need to subscribe to the Knockin' Boots podcast specifically if you want to keep getting those automatically. And also, we have a little bit of sad news. This is Christine Steimer's last day at IGN.
Yes!
No, no, no. That sounds mean. Yes, it is my last day. And I'm not doing anything for 2 weeks, and then I start my new job.
So you're not ready to discuss details on where you're going yet. But, people can keep up with you on Twitter.
Yes, I'm just at Steimer. And then on October 10th, I'll tell you all where I'm working.
Remember what we said about Diablo gold farming?
Yeah, Christine.
And that's what I'm doing. Give me the beta access. I'm going to start now. No, I will not be doing that. But, yes, I'm very excited for the future and...
How long have you been here
at IGN.
How long have you been here? Two years?
Yeah, a little over 2 years.
Started like right after E3.
Yes.
2 years ago. I remember you came to Brass Monkey and you thought we were all gay because
we're all making out with each other.
We're all kissing each other at the karaoke bar.
And I was like, what? That's usually a good tip on. I will have fond memories of that night for
I thought you guys were gay because you were being gay.
we'll trick you. We'll trick you. It's been good working with you, Christine. You'll be missed for sure. But good thing you're sticking around in the area, so
yes.
We'll get to see you a lot.
For sure.
Listeners, remember, you can always reach us at gamescoop@ign.com, just like Todd Canning did.
Hello, listeners.
Todd, thank you. That's usually Greg's job. Thank you, Anthony. Todd says, I love the show. Look forward to it every week. My question is about the embargo process. Can you talk in private about a game that has an embargo on it? Yes, we can talk with each other before the embargo is lifted. We just can't share it with the public, basically. It's necessary for us to be able to share information with each other for planning purposes and just to make sure everyone knows what's up.
Yeah, and if, like, informed I really about like these a games. Game and I wanted to get like top placement, I'm going to go to Damon and say, like, I really like this game. And it'd be awesome if we could get it some love on the front page or something like that.
And Anthony promises me it's going to get 5 million uniques in 3 hours. Then
Two hours. Exactly. Or, never mind.
This is Billy Bogus.
Ooh, I like this name.
Says, one feature that I think is sorely lacking from first-person shooters is hand customization.
Oh!
When you spend a billion hours staring at your hands, you should be able to customize them. What do you think about this idea?
Like
would you
tattoos
want,
and stuff?
Would you want to change your gloves or paint your fingernails? I want a character that's missing a few fingers.
Probably not your trigger finger.
I must confess, I've never thought to myself, man, I wish I could customize my hands.
No, but now that he's mentioned
I'm not going to be able to... Like,
although I do find it funny that some, you can't see your feet.
I think the problem with customization things is that part of the reason you want to customize stuff, though, too, is that you want other people to see it. And I don't know that hand details people would be able to see.
I do it for myself. Well, I just really like...
But I feel like a lot of people love to, like... Like, in World of Warcraft, part of it was like, look at my awesome armor, I look awesome, I love the way I look. And then part of it was, I'm going to go stand in an area that I know is high trafficked so that people can see how awesome I look.
Yeah.
I mean, like, Damon's character in Saints Row.
Yeah, I do that for me.
But he just for him.
That's true. That's a good point. Maybe hand customizations could work, as long as I don't have to pay for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what's weird is that I'm a girl now, probably will play as a girl topless, too.
In Saints Row. Yeah.
I don't know why. Slowly. I just think it's goofy. Slowly. And I'm like, sure, why not?
It's because girls topless look better than guys topless,
well,
hands
it's just
down.
A bunch of pixels. Like,
all
I mean,
the time. Well,
like,
yeah.
Blurred out, I mean. So it's not like you actually see anything, but...
Failed.
Still.
That game gets a 4 now.
No real boobs in this game. Is that rated T or M?
Game is very M.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I mean, you can murder old people violently, shoot them into buildings.
That's right,
and
you can hit them with like a dildo.
Yeah, so. You can beat them to death with a dildo, basically.
Which
is
what I'm going to do to everybody, so.
This is Tony. Says, with a ton of AAA games coming out this holiday season, almost all of them have some sort of limited or special edition. I was wondering, do any of you guys have plans to buy any limited editions? If not, what would need to be included to merit your hard-earned cash? Myself, I never really, I don't ever feel like I need to have the limited edition.
It's just a bunch of junk that I don't you need then that have to find something to do
art
with.
Book or that the metal, the cog metal, whatever's in there. I don't need it.
And I want the game to fit on the shelf with all my other games just the same as everyone else.
Gears equality is, for all.
Gears isn't better than the rest of you guys.
Charles, you agree?
I like cloth maps.
Cloth maps.
If it has a cloth map.
Does Skyrim have a cloth map?
I believe Skyrim does.
Are you serious?
The problem with Skyrim is the dragon statue that you get in that collector's edition is enormous.
Really? Like, How big is it?
There was a picture that went out that showed the box for the collector's edition on somebody's desk, and it took up like half the desk, and it's just like I don't want that. Like,
that's so funny.
That's a little too big. I'm gonna scare anyone that comes into my apartment and just sees a giant.
Just put it like over the door. Dragon is watching you.
Well, then it would be like a death trap, just in case.
It's true.
I mean, the ground shakes around here pretty often. I wouldn't want any dragon related mishaps.
Yeah. That's funny.
This is Sawara Kadir. Says, do you think that Microsoft's tight-ass way of handling developers is setting the game industry back? To clarify, Microsoft will not allow developers for both 360 and PS3 to release a game that has two discs in their console and only one for the PS3, i.e. Skyrim, if I'm not mistaken. That's why it's been squeezed onto a single DVD disc. This is not true.
That's not...
No, Mass Effect was
on two discs and then one on PS3.
And Final Fantasy 13?
Yeah, Final Fantasy 13.
I guarantee you, one disc on PS3.
You when Metal Gear comes out the next one, it'll be two discs on Xbox.
I am surprised that Skyrim made it on one disc. I don't understand that.
Assassin's Creed Revelations includes the original Assassin's Creed game on PS3, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So... I think you're misinformed.
I also just download a lot of games, so...
Yeah, that's true. It's not a problem for Charles.
Also, I don't think Microsoft is holding anyone back, because if they're going to... I mean, even though that may not be the best example, but if they're going to hold back the industry, other people are just going to move around them and go ahead of them.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry about it too much.
Yeah.
This is Maxwell. He wants to hear more from the Raging Canadian.
Oh. Yeah.
As with everyone else in this global economy, money's a little tight, so I now only purchase games that come highly recommended from IGN, usually a 9 or higher. When I was reading IGN's Top 100 Modern Games Countdown, I noticed several of the top 20 were sequels. I love story, so I made sure to play entirely through Uncharted 1 before I opened Uncharted 2. But do I need to play all of Mass Effect, Assassin's Creed, and Fallout to enjoy their impressive sequels?
I never played Mass Effect 1, and I loved Mass Effect 2.
I am a big fan of Mass Effect 1, though. So I would say yes, Mass Effect series.
If you can. I think it would be more satisfying when you play 2 because you made all those
decisions. And you have your Shepard.
Except you'll never make it to 2 because 1 will piss you off because it has no goddamn checkpoints. Regular autosaves.
I made it through Mass Effect 1.
It has no regular autosaves. You'll die and lose like 3 hours of progress because you'll forget to save.
Just
save the game.
No, Mass Effect 1 feels it's dumb.
No.
Do not go back to Mass Effect 1.
I love Mass Effect 1.
Well, you know.
Three out of four podcasters agree.
At the time when it came out, I'm sure it was great, but 2 is just so much of a leap.
If he hasn't played 2 yet, he won't know. So he can go and play 1 and then play 2.
However, I think you can skip the first Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, that one was garbage.
I skipped the first one. And for Fallout, I don't know, Fallout 3 is
the
so awesome.
Are
though.
Different.
They're not related.
I would play Fallout 3 before I'd play Fallout 2.
And at this point, you can buy Fallout 3 and get the Game of the Year edition and get all the DLC with it for $40.
And it's awesome, too.
However, I would recommend you go back and play Fallout 1 and 2.
Yeah, I mean, that would be good, too. I never played the originals.
Those are some good lessons of frustration as well.
But Fallout 1 is incredible. I think even though it's very antiquated at this point in terms of overall design, it's still an amazing experience. Although I don't think the effect of having an animated face for the more important characters in the world really has the same impact that it once did. It'd be like, it's so detailed, and now it's just like...
it's a bunch of pixels.
Yeah.
Blocky faces.
But it's still a really cool game.
This is Ryan. He says, I value your opinions, be they video game suggestions or otherwise, so I'm going to hit you with a personal one. I recently lost my job, and I'm feeling like I could use a change of pace. Is it an act of insanity to pick up and move from Boston all the way to the West Coast when I have no job prospect or place to live?
Well,
do you have anybody to stay with? I mean, that's like...
That's, This sounds like the type of thing that, like, when you read books about the 30s and stuff. Well, I lost my job. Heading to San Francisco, gonna make a living. You drive there day one, get a job washing dishes, and you find some old lady that lets you move into her loft.
Yeah, like, and you work your way up to, you're the CEO of a corporation.
I would not recommend moving to San Francisco because the city is freaking expensive. So that job, you wouldn't last very long.
I mean, if you're young, why not? As long as you think you can have enough money to not end up homeless.
Yeah. I did that. I moved, you know, when I graduated college, I moved to Chicago without a job or a place to stay, and, you know, but it kind of sucked for a while. But it took me a few months to find a job, and, like, you know, I was really poor. I lived in a good area. I was in Lakeview in Chicago, but, you know, it took me a while to find a job. I would no longer ever move somewhere without having a job. That's just me. I don't know. I need that security.
You've gone conservative now.
Yeah, I need that that level of security.
I think if you're young and you don't have a lot of responsibilities and you have some money to float you, then you should be fine.
Yeah, you'll end up with either a good story or a good meth habit you're homeless.
Oh, my God.
Charles, yay or nay? Should this guy pick up, move across the country?
I wouldn't recommend it. No, I mean, yeah, it's a risk, and maybe it'll pay off, but I don't think San Francisco.
Unless you have some sort of support circle here, like if you have friends or family.
If everybody's on the East Coast, stay there.
I feel like if you're isolated in that endeavor and you don't know anyone, it's gonna be real tough.
Yeah,
really tough.
This is Yanni. He says, "I live in Australia. I've been listening to GameScoop for a couple of years now. This whole time, I've had no idea what IGN Babeology is on the site for. What does it do for the company?
Clicks.
And why does a company like IGN need a babe channel that pretty much has nothing to do with games, movies, gear, or anything that IGN covers?" So, Yanni, IGN covers things that are of interest to males,
men.
18 to 34-year-old in general. And I don't think it's any surprise to say that dudes are into babes and hot chicks.
Wait,
and boobs.
Really?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, wow. I know, Charles.
Also, actually, the channel's been around for a long time.
Yeah, it used to be a babes channel. Now it's just stars. But
yeah,
actually, it does. I think it makes perfect sense for us to have babes on the site. But I don't know. I realize. I also will say that sometimes it can be a little silly. But I also kind of enjoy that aspect of it too.
Yeah, it exists. And it exists
and it does traffic, so that's why it's there.
The day that people stop clicking on Babeology.
So stop clicking on boobs,
I've been trying for months now to, I say it jokingly, but I'm not, to get to be the executive editor, leave PC Channel and become the executive editor of IGN, pets.ign.com.
Yes.
So that I can just put up YouTube videos of cats and dogs all day.
Yes.
Yes, that would do really well.
What does that have to do with video games? Well, nothing, but males 18 to 34 fucking love pets.
It's true.
It's true.
I would check that site every day.
Would too.
Don't ignore the animated GIFs, though. I like the animated GIFs.
Yeah, it would just be a site that curated GIFs and YouTube videos, basically. And, you know, top 10 lists of, like, the best cats.
Yeah.
The best cats.
What would be the best cat?
I think one of the best cats is potentially a Scottish Fold. They're very adorable.
They are really cute. Yeah. Well, best kittens, we'll go with that.
Okay.
Because when they grow up, they're not as cute.
Those would be the channels. It would be cats and then kitten sub-channel. Yeah. My God.
Weekly mammal, baby mammal of the week. You know?
All right. Our last email this week comes from Cold Ninja Pro. He says, "Could somebody tell me why I would want to go to college? My mom asked me why, but I could not give a reason, so please help me."
All right. So,
would want to?
Wait, what?
Why would he want to go to college?
I read an article in The Atlantic recently that was really interesting. It was an op-ed, and it was talking about how Americans get this idea that college is for everyone. And college is this guy was a professor at a Ivy League college, and he was saying that college is not for everyone. There are certain people that should never go to college. They don't need it. They're never going to get a job with the college level of education. They're not meant to do that. And I kind of am of the same impression. There are certain people that don't need college to be highly successful.
That may be true, but in this day and age, it's sort of a staple.
College degrees typically make more.
That's the thing. Statistics say that people go to college, make more money,
are
more successful in life.
If you're not going, other people are going, and if you're both applying for the same job,
even though
it may not make much of a difference, you might be way better. People are more inclined to hire people with a college education.
Yeah, I've also applied at plenty of places and maybe said that I had a college education. No one checks. So I'm just
saying. That's the thing, too.
Wow.
And, you know, we should point out.
I would not suggest lying.
I went to Harvard.
They would checked that. I'm pretty sure.
So, I mean, I think another important aspect is just the social connections you make there, because everyone has the same goal. That's it, like, hey, we need to start our careers. And I mean, if you're an entrepreneur and you have a great idea and the talent to do something with it, then yeah, maybe you bypass college and do everything yourself. But if you go to college, then you meet a lot of other like-minded people with the same interests who all want to start something professionally.
Exactly.
So you can work with them or work with your professors who hopefully aren't jaded and don't care about your jobs.
College is a good way to learn how to do critical thinking. That's the best thing for it.
And so we had an intern that was placed here through his college. It's been his long time dream. And this is Alex that was working in our sales department. It was his life dream was to work at IGN. So through his college, he was placed here at an internship, and now we've hired him on full time. So it's like he was able to do that, you know, through his college.
That's how I get my first job too.
Plus, college is a fucking awesome time.
Yeah, I was about to say, college
is so fun. Dude,
I mean, unless you live still with your parents and are like commuting to campus.
In between all that, the studying and the learning, it's just getting drunk and having lots of, lots of sex.
We live in a society
where
you need college to be successful. You know, I just think it'd be interesting if we didn't, because you know there are certain people who never went to college, like Benjamin Franklin, who was brilliant and accomplished tons of things.
Yeah, also lived in a way different time.
That's true. But we should point out the last editor-in-chief of IGN.com, Hillary Goldstein, does not have a college degree.
Yeah.
Also grew up in a different time.
I know, I'm just saying. I'm just trying to present all sides.
The quality of education that you get can differ vastly with what you do in high school. Like, I know when I transitioned from high school to college, it was like, ooh, my high school is a little behind the times on a lot of this stuff.
Yeah, my high school was awful.
High school told me I would not get into college because instead of taking PE, I wanted to take more English classes.
That doesn't even seem to make any sense.
When I tell people that I graduated number two in my class at high school, people are like, oh, wow. I'm like, no. This just means like
I managed to not get girl pregnant.
Exactly. Exactly. Like, it's not an accomplishment where I come from. Yeah.
All right. Well, that's all the scoops we have for you this week. Christine, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
For your last Game Scoop here. And let us know if you're available to come back and guest on the show.
We'd
love
to
have you back. Thank you, Anthony.
Don't do meth and go to college.
Thank you, Charles.
That is sage advice right there.
My name is Damon. This is IGN Game Scoop, and we're out. Come get up. Beware.
IGN Gamescoop. Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk turned traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.